Good Sunday morning. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries, and it's good to be with you on another Sunday. I tell you what, this week has been absolutely fantastic. The weather has been more what I would call summer-like, but hopefully we'll get some rain today as it's forecasted between today and on Monday, but we'll be hopeful and prayerful. At the same time, I'm sure that many farmers out there listening today, Mike, what are you thinking? We need dry weather to get those crops out, but at the same time, I think a little bit of precip would help us out at this with our yards and all the other things that are going on. So again, today, I want to thank you, too, for listening. Maybe you're traveling down the highway one way or another, and you've turned it on KBOE 104.9 FM. Thanks for listening today and joining us. We've got a great teaching, I think, today that's going to be an encouragement. And then also, too, maybe you're traveling to church this morning. Hope you're having a great day as you head and embrace your Sabbath. And also, too, many of you are at home and listening. Again, this is your Sabbath. This is your teaching. I want to thank you so much for listening to us today on KBOE 104.9 FM. Again, just some good stuff. But before we get started this morning, I just want to bring you up to date. We are doing a teaching series as we've been doing it also too here on the radio. We make it more for everyone, obviously, on the radio station. But as men, we're talking about a subject topic that I think a lot of men can really get some good things in their life and also understand. And that whereas we talk about anger, and we go to our Vital Ministries webpage. We have three different locations that we're at. Currently, we're in Ottumwa. You can see that there. We meet on Tuesday nights. Also, to Knoxville, we meet on Tuesday nights as well. And in Oskaloosa, some of the other communities, Oskaloosa and Pella, have joined together. And we're at 512 3rd Avenue West in Oskaloosa. And we meet on Tuesday nights from 6:30 to 8 at night. And we're dealing with some issues with men, dealing with anger. And I just want to encourage you as men, no greater time than this, I think, as we're dealing with the frustrations and the things of the anxiety and dealing with anger, with going on inside of our culture, within ourselves, and also, too, I think, just within the nation. There's just a spirit of anger that's out there. I just want to encourage you as men. This is a great opportunity where we look at what's going on with our anger. How do we handle it in a godly way? Not in a way that the world handles it, but how does the Holy Spirit help us deal with our anger? So just want to encourage you to get plugged into that, these different locations. Also, too, we send out devotional 6 days a week. We have Vital Life, which is a combination of both men and women. My wife writes for that, just exceptional. If you want to get just a nugget for your day, it's outstanding. Go to Vital Ministries website, vitalministries.org. Check that out. Also, too, we have it for the men, where it's centered and men-focused. And we have 5 writers that write for that as well. So I just encourage you to go to vitalministries.org. Check out that good stuff and see if that would help you in the midst of your day and give you a word of encouragement. But we're continuing our series this morning as we, why do good people get angry? Why is there so much frustration? And last week we kind of gave an introduction, but this week we're going to look at why do we get angry? We're going to talk about identity. How does identity play a role in the midst of our anger? You know, this you listen to the radio, and on a job site, I'm also a general contractor at the same time, and I can't believe the bombardment of continual commercials of going back and forth of telling me who to vote. It's almost like it's a mental, what they're trying to persuade me to think this way as opposed to that way. And we find it interesting. I don't know about you, but it makes me angry just listening to it after a while. And I think as people of the Lord, and as we look at what's coming up ahead, I just encourage you to get past the stuff and the junk that's out there as we look for anger. Matter of fact, this week I'm excited if you've got an opportunity, and you can actually go to the website. It's called The Return. And I know that on this past Saturday and also on Sunday, there is a presence of Christians that are coming around the nation, going to Washington, D.C. on the Mall for a time of prayer and restitution and coming before the Lord and crying out and consecrating ourselves in the midst of the sins that we've committed as a nation. And I think, again, as I look at that, and I would encourage you to watch that video. It's called The Return. You will see in the midst of that, the identity is always back to Christ. Matter of fact, I like this verse out of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. It says this, "This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, and the new life has begun." You know, we've heard that scripture multiple times, that Bible verse. We've heard it in, man, countless sermons, right? We hear it. But here's the question. Do we live it? See, here's a thought I want you to think about this morning. In order to control our anger, it is essential to know our identity and whom it devises. We begin here because the key to successfully processing and managing your anger sets in your view identity as a Christian. See, as we look at that process, and again, we look for identity as who we are as a people and within a country itself. And a lot of times we look for identity outside our Christian faith. Oftentimes I will see different people that they'll be trying to create identity. A lot of times we'll wear different teams that we enjoy or we like. It's a way of saying we're a fan, but at the same time, are we trying to create identity out of it? Also, too, we do it in not only in sports, we do it in sometimes in the vehicles that we have, motorcycles, identity even within churches, identity within our companies that we work for. Yeah, that's all partial of identity, but it isn't true identity. It's an identity of what we do and what we like. And I think if we can keep focused on what our identity truly is and where it comes from, it truly comes from the Lord. See, the problem we often encounter with anger is that it's such a powerful emotion, like a raging river, that we go with the flow, unaware that we can slow it down and divert it in a constructive direction. I don't know about you, but there's many times that I have lost my anger and I'm spewing out things that I think I would never say or act out. It's like a river that comes out of the inside of me. And after it's over, I stand back and I think, why did I say all those things? See, the Lord constantly reminds us is what comes out of our mouth comes out of from our heart. And I see that sometimes that the anger that comes out of me is because I have a heart issue, a heart problem, instead of keeping, again, my identity in Christ. See, let's look at what anger actually is. See, anger is an intense emotional state induced by displeasure. Anger is not an essential part of God's nature. Now, I want you got to listen to what I'm about to say this morning to kind of wrestle with it a little bit. I'm going to say that again. Anger is not an essential part of God's nature. It flows from two aspects of God's divine nature, God's holiness and God's love. Yet we see in the Bible God's anger, don't we? The word anger is used 455 times in the Old Testament. Matter of fact, you will see in those scripture verses that God actually gets angry himself 375 times in the Old Testament. We see God's anger. See, God, his anger is out of the concern. Now hear me on this. Out of justice and righteousness, not out of the emotion of he's simply angry at who we are. He's angry at the justice and also the righteousness that we don't follow because we're not committed to reading and walking a life of obedience to the very word that he gives us. That's why he was so frustrated. As you look in the Old Testament, he was so frustrated and got angry with Israel is because of their unwillingness, of their commitment, of their faith, of the one true God. They were always going away from that and chasing their idolatry into different things, into pagan things of the culture at that time. And the same thing goes on with us today. See, but I think there's an important insight that we can glean from that. God created us. Now hear me. God created us in his image. So it's logical that we have concern for justice and righteousness, right? We are the only creation on the planet that is in the image of God himself. See, anger then is an emotion that arises whenever we encounter what we perceive to be wrong. Now, if you've heard me talk with you a little bit, I'm actually going through the process of being a deputy sheriff in Mahaska County. Now, one of the things we've had to deal with anger And they talk about anger and keeping anger in place as you have to serve justice, as you have to go out and serve issues that go on with the community. One of the things they keep reminding us is that anger is a second emotion. It's not a primary emotion. It comes from something else. And again, as we just read, it comes from displeasure, things that we cannot control. See, there in fact lies the problem of what anger is. We get mad about what we perceive as to what is actually wrong. Isn't that interesting? We get angry to what we perceive as opposed to what's actually wrong with the situation that's going on. And I want to encourage us today, our perception of life, perception of when things don't go right, when things go wrong, it's important for us to see how God wants us to play out in the midst of our anger, in those emotions. Now, I want to show you this morning, if you got your Bibles handy this morning, we're going to look at three sections of the Bible in the New Testament in ways where we actually see in the writings in the Bible where Jesus himself gets mad, where he gets angry. Now, I want you to go to John chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 13 through 15 and see where Jesus himself has an angry moment. Starting with verse 13, it says this: "It was nearly time for the Jewish Passover celebration, so Jesus went back to Jerusalem. In the temple area, he saw merchants selling cattle, sheep, and doves for sacrifice, and he also saw dealers at tables exchanging foreign money. Jesus made a whip from some rope and chased them all out of the temple." Now, I want to stop there just a second. Now, think of the 12 disciples who were actually with Jesus. They see Jesus doing all kinds of miracles, reminding them about love and all these things. And now they see Jesus actually making a whip. Can you imagine that moment for a second? Here is Jesus. Here's the love that we're seeing from this man. And all of a sudden, we see the anger starting to flow out of him to the point where he creates and makes a whip. It says this. He says, "He drove out the sheep and the cattle, scattered the money changers' coins over the floor, and turned over the tables. Then going over to the people who sold the doves, he said this to them, 'Get these things out of here. Stop turning my father's house into a marketplace.'" Now that's amazing, isn't it? He comes and he reprimands. He literally uses his whip not only to drive out the cattle, the sheep, the goats, all those things, man. Can you imagine the chaos that's going on in the temple? And bear in mind, the Pharisees and the Sadducees are watching this all come down. Why? Because they get a take in the deal. They're getting money at the expense of people coming to do sacrifice for the Lord. That was how it was back in the Old Testament. And even at the time until Jesus went to the cross, in order to get atonement, in order to get the covering of our sin, they had to have blood shed over it because Jesus' blood had not been shed yet. Jesus gets angry over that. He gets angry over the injustice that he sees that's going on with people. And I think that's important for us to realize. It wasn't emotion that it was against him. It was the emotion about justice that wasn't right. And that should help us today as we look at justice and issues. I don't know about you, but I get angry over the issue of abortion. It makes me angry. It makes me angry that our nation has committed over 60 million deaths prescribed over premature birth, all because we say they're unwanted. I tell you what, folks. That's why I'm so happy that possibility within our nation that this actually could be overturned, that this wrong could be made right. And I pray that as you hear that this morning, because a lot of people will say, they'll push back and say, a woman has a right to do with her body as she wants. That's a true statement. But at the same time, my thinking is before the moment of where they have the conception, that the heat of the moment of sexual intercourse, that could be done, the precautions of having not happen could be done. And there's several ways, and I'm not going to go on that this morning, but there's several ways that we can actually do that so there's not conception made with a child. Thinking before the action. I think that's so important for us today, is rethinking and re-educating our people to understand, telling our young men that having sex outside of marriage before their marriage is wrong. Parents, hear me on this. You keep wanting to blame the church on this situation, but you're the one that has the voice. And I encourage us today, especially men, especially fathers, it's time for us to take a stand and tell our young children, both men and boys, that we need to have, and also too with girls, that it's time for us to speak. It's time for us to have boldness and share what's right. Now, another time we'll see it where Jesus gets upset. I want you to go to Mark chapter 10. And you can see this morning, I'm excited about that. Without a doubt, I am, because it just, it gives us a place as a nation to make some things different. Now, we're going to see another place where Jesus, let's look in the Bible, another place where Jesus gets angry. And I want you to go to Mark chapter 10, starting with verse 13. One day, some parents brought their children to Jesus so he could touch and bless them. But the disciples scolded the parents for bothering him. Now, let's just stop there just a quick second. The disciples are scolding the children for coming. We don't have a clue why this is happening, but for some reason, they think they're bothering Jesus. But let's continue reading the story, and let's see what happens here. It says, when Jesus saw what was happening, he was angry with his disciples, and he said, let the children come to me. Don't stop them, for the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children. I tell you the truth, that anyone who doesn't receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it. Then he took the children in his arms, and he placed his hands on their heads, and he blessed them. I think it's essential here, because we see his anger that goes on in the midst of our churches and the things that we've got going on. It's important for us to realize that children have a place. And I love it when churches have places for their mothers to go to when a child gets upset or things that are going on, and gives them a place where they can still participate in the church, but at the same time, they can get them out of the venue of that time. But I tell you what, folks, it's important for us not to get all upset and bent out of shape just because a baby's crying or a little child is being unruly and we don't think the parents are handling it like we would have handled it. I tell you what, we have a place in our churches today that I believe is very, very important. How are they ever going to learn how to act in church? How to listen? And folks, I think it's important they should see how we worship together, how they can actually sit and listen to someone speak and hear about God's word and from their pastor speaking about what's being said. It's essential for us today as believers to allow places for families to come together to where they can worship together and also to listen to the word of God, and still we get our emotion out of the way so we're not being bent out of shape over exactly what's going on. But let's look at another location at Mark to where we need to go this morning. Let's go to Mark chapter 3, verse 1, and this is what the word of God says. It says, Jesus went into the synagogue again and noticed a man with a deformed hand. Since it was the Sabbath, Jesus' enemies watched him closely. If he healed the man's hand, they planned to accuse him of working on the Sabbath. I don't know about you guys, but I get angry just reading this. This ticks me off because I'm sitting there thinking, here's Jesus wanting to do something miraculous, but the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the religious leaders are all hung up on the law. There's within the law, there's no mercy and there's no grace. And sometimes as Christians, we can do the same thing. We give no mercy or grace in the midst of the moments because people are not doing what they think they should be doing. But Jesus does this. Jesus said to the man with the deformed hand, he says, come and stand in front of everyone. Then he turned to his critics. I love it. See, Jesus is full of boldness, full of the Spirit of God. And I tell you what, folks, we need this same boldness today. No greater time than this for the Christian community to come and stand forth and stand for what is right and what is true. Jesus says this. He says, does the law permit good deeds on the Sabbath, or is it a day for doing evil? In this day to save a life or to destroy it? But they wouldn't answer him. You know, folks, this is so important for us to look at today. I said that we get so critical about people. Sometimes people's Sabbaths are different days. Sometimes people have to work on what we call the Sabbath on Sunday. So they take another Sabbath and another day. See, the key isn't a day. The key is having a day. And that's important for us. We will go out as Christians And I want you to hear me on this. This is important. We'll go out as Christians on a Sunday. We've just been to church, and we go out and we'll have a lunch somewhere else where someone is serving us. We'll go out and we'll act awful. We'll get upset because they haven't brought our food quick enough, if they haven't gotten our water quick enough, or we haven't been taken care of enough. What does that say to the person who doesn't have faith and sees the Christian act in this way? I don't know about you, but they're not coming to your church. That is true. So it's important for us this day, if we're going to act out and be what God wants us to be, what greater day to be a double giver, a double giving someone double the amount that they should give. Instead of giving 20% of what you would give them on a tip, you give them 30% or even greater, double the amount. I tell you what, you want to speak to a person's heart, you do it on Sunday as well, not just on the rest of the week. And that's essential. And again, umbrella of mercy on this, but I am passionate about this, that it's important for us people. Listen to me. It's time for the Christian community to start acting like Jesus more than any greater time in our world than now. And I tell you what, folks, as I'm saying this, as you can tell that I'm passionate about it, I also look at Mike Sarig at the same time. Mike needs to stand up, step to the plate, and start acting what God is acting him to be called to be in the man of God that I'm called to be. Again, identity goes back into Jesus, and here again we see it. He says, he looked around at them angrily. See that? He looks at them angrily. But here's another emotion that shows up. He was also deeply saddened by their hard hearts. Then he said to the man, hold out your hand. So the man held out his hand, and it was restored. At once the Pharisees went away and met with their supporters of Herod to plot a way to kill Jesus. They had the fuel that they needed and that they were looking for. See, it's important for us as this. When Jesus got mad, he still felt compassion. Jesus' most intense anger was towards the greatest, was always at the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the religious rulers. He still felt sympathy, though, at the same time for them. Jesus processed his anger and still had humility. Now, this is important. We are capable of the process of expressing our anger like Jesus. The truth rests on the foot as his followers, as he lives in us and we live in him. See, that's key, isn't it? As a creed, can we, in the midst of our anger, in the midst of the emotion, still show humility and compassion for what we get mad about? Wow. That is that. I tell you what, folks, talk about the rubber hitting the road. This is the place of where we can act out true Christian faith and people see us and see difference. And I tell you what, that's essential. I'm sitting here thinking, you know, I had an opportunity last Saturday. It was an interesting moment, and we were actually called out. I was with the deputy sheriff part, and we actually were called out, and we went after an individual who was fleeing and had a situation in their lives of where they had broken the law. And they actually had a situation at home with a spouse that created for us to have to come after it when we actually literally did an arrest. But here was the interesting thing. As we arrested that person and put them in the car to take him literally to jail, all of a sudden now I had compassion. I could look past the situation of what I wasn't angry because none of it was about me at the same time, but still had to serve because law was broken. Folks, when you break man's law, you have to pay against man's law. So we took him to jail, and this is the situation. As he was being put in the jail clothes and doing his thing, and all of a sudden, here's all these people in the jail. And I'm always really careful because you got to really be careful in those moments that you don't religion and faith and law and all that. So I looked at the man and I said this. I said, sir, strength and courage today. And he looks at me. He knew me. He called me out. He says, Mike, thank you. See, justice still had to be served, but I could still have sympathy in the midst of the moment. I think that's key. See, we got some verses that I think is going to strengthen us today that I hope helps you. Philippians 3:20 says this, but we are citizens of heaven when the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly waiting for him to the return as our Savior. Is that you today? Are you waiting eagerly as your identity is in Christ? Are you eagerly waiting with anticipation of his soon return? Romans 8:2 says this, and because You belong to him. The power of the life-giving Spirit, which is the Holy Spirit, has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. That's overcoming our anger, folks. 2 Corinthians 5:17, like we've read before, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ truly has become a new person. The old life is gone, and the new life has become. Folks, in our faith, identity is critical. It's a portion of our life that we have to keep focused on, looking past our anger and looking past the moments that we deal with in life to looking to where our identity is Him. When we do that, folks, even with those that are closest to us, we'll truly see the change in our hearts. Let's pray this morning. Again, I want to thank you for this day. I want to thank you for the opportunity, Jesus, that we can proclaim your glory. We can see how you handled the anger of emotion and how you dealt with it in the right way that gives us guidelines even today in the midst of our anger. Our culture today, our world is angry about everything. Lord, help us as Christian people today to be different, to get past our emotion, to realize it is a second emotion. It's not the primary emotion. Help us to be people of love, to have caring and sympathy in tough moments. We thank you, Jesus, in your precious holy name. Amen. Folks, anger's a tough one, isn't it? As we deal with that emotion, as we deal with identity, our identity again is always in Jesus Christ. When we keep that identity and truth, we'll always walk in the Spirit of love. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries.